This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we talk to artists in our Bronx studio, and we listen to them play a live set. You'll get to hear the songs and learn about the artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you listen to podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes and maybe even to find your next favorite artist or band. And if you like what we do, make sure to rate and review the show so other music lovers can find it. This is FUV Live Sessions with Eva Doobie. I'm Megan Aftermat, and I'm here with host Kara Manning at WFUV. Kara, this episode is a little bit different. So first of all, we chatted to be at Central Park Summer Stage in New York City, right backstage, right behind Central Park Summer Stage, and it was such a vibe. And the music that you're going to hear in this episode is shared generously from a studio session that Biba Doobie did at KCSN in California. So thanks to them for the music, and, you know, let's just get right into it because I think people just adore Biba Doobie, and I think they're just waiting to hear what she has to say.
Thanks, Megan, and a huge thanks to Biba Doobie's Bee Louse, who sat down with us right before one of her two sold-out shows there. You know, since I first spoke to Bee in person at WFUV in Studio A back in 2022, I've been impressed with her generosity of spirit, her candor, her kindness, and humor. Bee is the real deal, not only as a gifted songwriter and musician, but as a genuinely good-hearted person, something we need more of in this world. The third Biba Doobie album, which is brand new, called This Is How Tomorrow Moves, is arguably her best in what is already a really impressive career of albums, EPs, her singles, as well as collaborations with her friends like Leve. We touched on so much in what was a warm, engaging chat about life, love, and cats.
Honestly, who doesn't love a food-based pet name? Her cats' names are Kimchi and Miso, and honestly, I just found that so amazing and endearing.
Yes, Bee loves her cats. And right after our talk, she ran off with her friends to grab a bite at the Jellycat Diner at FAO Schwartz.
And Kara, we have three songs from this new record that we're going to hear. What are we going to hear first in this session?
This is Beaches.
Change of mood, said I see it to believe it, but who knows the actual truth? But I'm sure now, I'm sure, 'cause days blend to one when I'm on the right beaches and the walls painted white. They tell me all the secrets, don't wait for the tide. Just to dip both your feet in, 'cause I'm sure now, I'm sure. Find it hard to say I know that I'm alright. Took a while for me to finally realize that when I see it, I believe it, giving me peace of mind. But I'm sure now, I'm sure, 'cause days plan on one when I'm on the right beaches and the walls painted white. They tell me all the secrets, don't wait for the tide, just to dip both your feet in, 'cause I'm sure now, I'm sure, some days I'm afraid to fall down, but I understand the coming out. If I allow it, can't help it, can't help, 'cause the secrets. Don't wait for the tide, just to dip both your feet in. 'Cause I'm sure now, I'm
Kara Manning for FUV Live Sessions, and I am here with Biba Doobie, who is, of course, Bee Louse, and we are backstage at Central Park Summer Stage on a very beautiful autumn day, or kind of early autumn, late summer,
yeah.
And it is just before you're about to take the stage again. Your new album is This Is How Tomorrow Moves, and it is, the only way I can describe it is it's crushingly beautiful.
Oh,
and it is an absolutely insightful, sophisticated, smart, delicate, vulnerable collection of songs. You seem to be at a very new place with this album. Doesn't take away at all from what you achieved with Bayatopia or Ficket Flowers or your EPs. But there seems to be an internal quiet that you have found on this album of sort of an... I think you've described it as your opening into adulthood.
Yeah, thank you. That means a lot. And you hit the nail on the head, pretty much. I think it was just like kind of accepting the growth I was so scared of, you know, going through, pretty much. And just the inevitability of, like, you know, entering this new womanhood, adulthood, you know, however you want to call it. And feeling like I didn't really have to be loud to get my point across, if you get what I mean. I think a lot of my past records that I love, I feel like I was there was a lot of anger and a lot of frustration, and I feel like with this record in particular, there was a lot of introspectiveness and maturity. So yeah,
you've worked for a really long time with Jacob Bugden, who is playing with you tonight and is on tour with you now. He is co-producer of this album along with, of all people, Rick Rubin, who is like almost double your age, and he is a storied producer, but initially it seemed like an unlikely match. Explain to me how you connected, because it wasn't originally to be about working on this album. It was about, you're just talking about life, basically.
No, literally. Well, it felt like a therapy session, which was awesome because I definitely needed one on that day.
Where did you meet him?
And when was this? I met him at Shangri-La.
Oh,
so
okay.
I drove up to Malibu from LA. I was staying in LA, and I was kind of like, it was the same day I was flying back to join the Taylor tour again.
Oh, okay.
And I just decided, you know, I should go and meet him. I didn't know why it was so daunting in my brain. I think I was like a little bit nervous. But then when we met, it was so chill, so normal, really, really wholesome. All we did was chat about life. And like, I think I played him like a couple of songs I had recorded on my voice notes. And it was just like on my crappy phone. I mean, you could see crappy phone recordings. And
it is. I can attest. It is a really crappy looking phone.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it's a little bit shitty. But yeah, and he loved them. But nothing came out of it. It wasn't like, oh, you're gonna make a new album. Like, yeah, I'm like trying to write a new record. And then, yeah, then we just made this record together.
So he then contacted your management and said, I really want to work with B.
Yeah.
So you were on tour for a part of the leg of Taylor Swift's tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then you came off the road with her. When you had demos already at that point, or did you go back and you began to work on what you wanted to do next?
So I was doing the Taylor tour, and then I flew to LA for a week, and then I made demos in that week. And at the end of the week, that's when I met Rick.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I flew back to the to join the Taylor tour, and my manager was like, Rick wants to do your album if you're down. I'm like, what? Because we had plans, you know, just me and Jacob doing it in London, or working with, you know, another producer, or just doing it ourselves. And then this was just not in my brain at all. I was like, I didn't think that would ever happen to me.
But it was also important to bring Jacob along as part of this too. And in fact, am I wrong in thinking that Beaches addresses that sort of triangulation between the three of you, of trying to find that way of talking to each other in the studio?
I think with Beaches, it was like, that song was born from kind of the anticipation of going to Shangri-La and all the anxiety I felt, and like making my first record out of London and like kind of stepping into new waters. I was very like a little bit scared, very nervous. And so Beaches is just like finally accepting, oh, maybe, you know, it's like good to take risks, because usually they turn out really well. It's just, you know, appreciating the outcome. That's the song.
You know, it's this album is more contemplative than the other two albums. And you seem to be also learning more about who you are as a vocalist, as well as a songwriter and a musician. You play with your vocals more so. You take greater chances and allow that vulnerability to come through. I'm thinking in particular of Girl's Song, which is just you and a piano and all the colors in your voice. That confidence that you began to have and what the possibilities were for you on this album, did that come kind of through yourself, through Rick's encouragement, through your experience even on the Swift tour? Where did that ability to take that risk come from?
I honestly think it was just, you know, kind of being in the industry and having to do so many shows and going on tour with Taylor and going on tour with lots of people. You, like, because this was, being a musician was never my plan. So I learned a lot of things in the process of, like, actually doing it. So my vocals had improved. I learned tricks. I learned songwriting tricks from meeting very talented people and talking with people I look up to. So I just like gained all this knowledge and just wanted to apply it finally. Right. And I had the confidence to do so, knowing I had kind of earned this spot in this like amazing studio with like such an amazing producer. And, you know, a lot like, and still in my career and, you know, years in the past years, my confidence gets knocked quite a lot. Yeah. I'm a bit of a people pleaser. I second guess all of my decisions, and that happens still sometimes, but I think it was the first time I felt truly proud of myself when I was making this record.
Can you talk a little bit about Girl's Song, where that comes from? That's such a striking center heartbeat of this album.
Well, I was actually listening to a lot of Simon Garfunkel.
Were you really?
Yeah, Simon and Garfunkel. And I wasn't having a very good week, I think. I think my period was coming. My skin got really bad. And I just felt like I needed to write a song. And that's usually how it goes when I write music. But I just wanted to kind of get all the songwriting tricks out of the bag and make a really heartfelt song.
What's a songwriting trick that you learned that you are keen on?
Just like melody lines I've heard from previous music and chord progressions that I would, you know, watch that video of what's it, one of the guys from Simon and Garfunkel, and he's on that talk show. And he is he's writing a song on the spot, and I would pause at every second to see the shapes his fingers are making.
I love that. I love that you did that.
Yeah.
You know, obviously Elliot Smith is sort of, you reference Elliot and This Is How It Went. You can hear him hovering over Take a Bite and Coming Home. And, you know, it's funny because I remember speaking to Phoebe Bridgers a very long time ago for FUV, and she mentioned Elliot Smith as being really important to her. A lot of songwriters of your generation have mentioned Elliot Smith as being a touchstone. What is it about his music that resonated for you, and why did you feel that you really wanted to bring a part of him into this process?
I just think you can hear the genuineness in his songwriting and his melody lines. And he's poetic, but not so poetic that it makes you scared of listening to the music, or it feels pretentious. It feels vulnerable and welcoming. I have this thing with Elliot Smith where I can't watch any live videos of him because it will make me cry, like, really? Immediately. Yeah, it's just like this. I've got like an EXO tattoo. That's my favorite album of his. Yeah. But like, there is something about him that just moves me so much. And I don't have that with any other musician. He's just so special to me.
He's the pinnacle of everything. Mm-hmm. Talk to me a little bit about Everscene, which is just this exquisite gem of a song. And it's beautiful, yeah. And it's tender, and it's crackling. And in working in the studio with Rick and Jacob, how was that song born? It came in through a demo originally, mm-hmm. but how did it evolve for you there Shangri-La?
Actual like final recording of Everscene isn't too far from the demo, because I loved the demo so much. I was like, it has to stay like this.
So it's purely, feels very true and pure to it.
Yeah, 100%. I think the core, like, I wanted, there was two ways of going with the song, because if you strip back the production and you just hit me, my voice and the guitar, it can be a country song. So I was like, we should do a country song. Let's go full on country. And Jacob was like, no, the song's about Glastonbury and about you getting super high. So we should make it feel like you're like coming up, like, yeah. You know, at a festival. And I was like, I was like, I don't know. And then he showed me a demo, and I fell in love with it immediately. I was like, oh my God, this is what the song is meant to be. It was like a little nod to a song from Beethoven called See You Soon. And I just thought it was perfect. And we stuck to it when we recorded it in Shangri-La.
I love it. It's also a song in which you mention forgiving yourself, that in the process of forgiving yourself is almost harder than when you're forgiving others, which it comes through on Everscene.
Now that you say that, I feel like that's a big theme in the record.
It is a big theme on the record.
Yeah, which is interesting. But yes, Everscene, it's like finally owning up to one's mistakes and just like, which I never do in relationships. I'm always like, no, I am not the one at fault. And then I think finally being in a healthy relationship with someone I truly, truly love, I can finally accept my fault and things.
Love that. I'm Kara Manning with FUV Live Sessions. I'm here backstage at Central Park Summer Stage with B. Louse, who you might know better as B. Badoobie. And this is Everscene.
Some time waiting for your face. Don't wanna risk just making all the same mistakes. The highest I think I've ever been. Said I had the prettiest eyes he'd ever seen. Can't help going through it. Swear it's just the calm down that made me do it. But my span and I show it. Wasting all my time just dwelling in it. Cause I spent some time waiting for your face. Don't wanna risk just making all the same mistakes. The highest I think I've ever been. Said I had the prettiest eyes he'd ever seen. Wound up with a purpose. I've been through this too many times and not notice. It's been rough, but I felt worse. I'll pull myself back up and you know this. Cause I spent some time waiting for your face. Don't wanna risk just making all the same mistakes. The highest I think I've ever been. Said I had the prettiest eyes he'd ever seen. He has the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. Every piece of me holds parts of you. Wish I could see but it feels much better when I'm with you. And when I get too high and I can't breathe, I can't lie, he has the prettiest eyes I've ever seen. The prettiest eyes I've ever seen. The prettiest eyes I've ever seen. The prettiest eyes I've ever seen.
Kara Manning with FUV Live Sessions, and that is Ever Seen. And I am here with Bea Louse, Bea Badoobie. We are here at Central Park Summer Stage in New York City, which, do you like visiting New York?
I love coming to New York. I love shopping. I love seeing my friends here. I know a couple people here. The shows make me feel nervous just because it's like a big city. And I think people here are like kind of cool. So like they'll only move if you like shout at them.
Oh.
Like, please move. Please jump. And then they'll jump and then they'll dance. But yeah, it's a hard crowd to impress.
Tie My Shoes is one of my favorite songs on this album. Mm. It's a song that you wrote about your dad. Mm. Father's also drift in and out of this album too, because I believe your boyfriend's father is also referenced in one song. But when you played Tie My Shoes for your dad, did you play Tie My Shoes for your dad?
No.
You have not.
It's such an awkward job. I'm just, every time I played him the demos, I'm just like, I like play him all the demos except for that one. He's like, is that the whole album? Like, yep. That's
wow.
Those are all the songs. And then, so when I was like anticipating his response.
Yeah.
For Tie My Shoes. And he just like, he didn't really say anything. He's just like, I love the album. Like, thank you. God. Like, way better that way.
Oh, that's wonderful though.
Yeah.
He must be very proud of you.
Yeah.
So there's also a beautiful story about The Man Who Left Too Soon is about Jake's dad too. Mm. And I read a beautiful story that you told about the background of that and playing that for Jake.
Yeah. Yeah, I was so nervous because I was like, it's like, if you don't want me to release it, like, I, it's so understandable. Like, I totally understand. And then he just like sent it to his entire family and they all loved it. And then they just told me that there he is. And they told me this story about his dad painting moons. They thought it was sweet.
That's lovely. I should mention that Jake came up when you were at WFUV about a year and a half ago and you played Glue Song for the first time, which is about him.
Yes.
And
a lot of songs.
You gave us the great gift of your first performance of Glue Song anywhere. Mm. So that was, we appreciate that.
No, it was good practice. Thank you. I was like, oh, so this is like the, what's the word? Like the order in which the verses go. Because I was still trying to figure it out then. So it's cool.
Out of curiosity, given the fact that listening to this album, it is an album in completion. I would say to people not to just listen to a single and think that this is what you're doing, is to go from track 1 through 14 and find your journey. Is there a song on this that you sort of hesitated about including on the album at all?
Mm.
Or that you and that maybe it was, you were trying with Rick to find something and you couldn't quite find it the way you wanted to, right?
I think every song on the album kind of fell into place. The only moment where it felt like I shouldn't put this on was because of I was scared about, you know, which is so stupid and no songwriter should ever feel this way. But I was almost made to feel this way, where it felt like I couldn't really write my songs or else I would, about a specific person, because they would get angry and make a massive thing about it. And that was the only thing that was stopping me. And I just thought it was unfair that could be the case, because it's your art. And I was speaking to Rick about it and he was like, dude, who cares? Just release the
great advice.
Yeah. So
is there anything else that he said to you that's kind of stuck in your head?
Well, just before I was about to release the album, I was telling him how nervous I was and I felt sick. And he was like, I was like, I just really want people to like it. I just really want people to like it, you know, back to like the people pleasing thing. And then the one thing he said to me, which is, you know, anyone would say this to you, but he kind of, it just stuck to me for some reason. He was like, but do you like it? Do you like it? And I was like, yes, I love it so much. He was like, well, that's all that matters. And then he like disappeared like an apparition. And I was like, oh my God. And that was the last I saw of him.
Really?
Really? He just left. And I was like, damn. And that really stuck to me.
So, oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Obviously being on that Taylor Swift tour, huge. You know, you already command huge crowds by yourself, but being on something that mammoth, is there anything that you took from watching her in performance that helped you as you were kind of thinking how to walk on stage for this, the support of this album?
Well, she's always smiling. Always.
Interesting.
And I think I like ages ago, I saw like a load of comments being like, she just seems so happy online, but like on stage, she just looks really sad. And I get it because I was, you know, tour was really hard for me at the beginning. So I would go on stage and either have a mental breakdown or just pull a sad face. But now I enjoy every moment I have performing. And I'm like the most smiley I've ever been on stage.
You are also very careful now about taking care of yourself.
Yeah.
Your mental health. I love the fact that you've reduced your tour schedule to, what, 3 weeks at a time?
Yeah.
Which is smart because it's grueling.
Yeah.
How else are you kind of like taking those pieces that are for yourself and no one else? Are you finding more time to relax, to take a deep breath? You're studying ballet, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm not continuing on the road. I'm doing training on the road here and there if I can be asked.
Right.
And I'm actually doing this tour sober. So, well, California sober. but it's way better that way. Yesterday I went to my first party and I didn't have like any alcohol and I was like so surprised at myself. I was like, wow, I can like do this and have so much fun and just like be completely sober. So that's been really helpful. That's been like making me feel like in it, like it's kind of making me appreciate everything more. Like I'm more in the moment.
You and Levy did A Night to Remember together. Mm-hmm. Are you going to work together again, do you think, or go on tour together?
I would love to. That'd be fun. I mean, we talk here and there, but, you know, she's off doing her tours and I'm off doing mine. Yeah. So we're both quite busy. So, yeah.
Well, to come full circle, the person that you wrote Glue Song about also, I would assume, inspired Coming Home.
It's so funny with that song because there's a lyric in there that like no one really gets apart from me and Jake. And it's like a bar on the roof's like not a good way to leave you to. And that was our first ever argument on tour, which I think is really funny. It's a very specific song. It's about my cats. It's about Jake. It's about missing home loads. I love playing it live, especially when it's like the last show, because it feels like
going to make it happen. Yeah, I love that. And quick shout out to the kitties. What are your cats' names? Yes.
Kimchi and Miso.
I love it.
I know. And, I need to show you a picture of them. This is when they were babies.
Oh my goodness. They're so cute.
I know.
Oh.
They're the best, honestly.
You know what? You're the best. Laos, I love talking to you. You're one of my favorite interviews that I do. And I just, this is how Tomorrow Moves is the new album. And it's absolutely stunning. And congratulations.
Do the dishes, I'll carry the load to make up lost time. Trash to the brim and I'm scared of it, but you always know just what to say. And I'm sorry if I'm coming home too late. I'm waking up to the gap on my blinds peeking sunlight. I'd do anything just to be with you, to sit and watch you slowly wake. And I'm sorry if I'm coming on too late. A hotel room only means I'll be with you soon. An American state makes you feel so far away. So I promise this time I won't be late. And a bar on the roof is not a good way to leave you too. And a seat on a plane only shows that we're miles away. So I promise this time I won't be late. You do the dishes, we'll carry the load because we have time. I emptied the trash like I said I did, and you never guess what I'd have to say. I'm not sorry, 'cause this time I won't be late.
That was Biba Doobie on FUV Live Sessions, brought to you by WFUV in New York City. A big thank you to B for sitting down with us ahead of her Central Park Summer Stage show, and to KCSN in Southern California for sharing music with us for this episode. Thanks to Dirty Hit Records, too. The songs in this episode were mixed and engineered by Tristan Dolce and Matt Blake at SoCal Sound. Megan Aftermat at WFUV produced this episode. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. Be sure to follow FUV Live Sessions wherever you get your podcasts so you can listen to new episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. New episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV Live Sessions at WFUV.org. FUV Live Sessions is a production of WFUV in New York City. I'm your host and producer for this episode, Kara Manning.